Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911
on Soul Patrol with Jesse and Ruben. Two-man car. We are 10-8. Jesse, good morning. Happy Feast of All Souls Day.
Amen. Reporting for duty, sir. Holy souls, pray for us.
Yes, that's right. And we, in turn, are praying for them. So,
amen. What a beautiful reciprocity of brotherly love, as the Bible says. How good it is when the brothers dwell in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1.
Amen.
Hey, Ruben, I just want to remind our Catholics over in Virginia that today they're having an election. You got Glenn Youngkin, who's running against another fake Catholic. What's the guy's name again?
McAuliffe or something?
Yeah, McAuliffe. Yeah, he was a governor before. And so just reminding that Father Pavone says this. He doesn't mince words.
Right.
He says, the more people we can get out to vote today, and this is in Virginia, the more ready we will be to get them out for the midterms a year from now. And both this year and next, he goes, Father Pavone says, we have to kick the Democrats out of office. I've said it countless times before, and I'll say it countless times again. The Democrat Party has become an evil party and does not deserve one shred of political power. One of the most closely watched is the Virginia governor's race today. It is a state so close to the seat of today's Democrat power, and Republican victory there today will speak volumes to the nation as we see Democrat policies completely out of touch with mainstream America. A great man is running on the Republican ticket, Glenn Youngkin, endorsed by President Trump and myself and countless other patriots. Just want to remind you, anybody who's out there in Virginia, get out there and vote for Glenn Youngkin. Let's get McAuliffe. Don't give him a second term. He's just like another Cuomo. Jerry Brown. Yeah, he's more the same, Ruben. Mm-hmm. Just want to mention that.
Amen. Yeah, I had a beautiful Feast of Christ the King Mass this past Sunday, the old calendar. And
Me too. Yeah. It was Feast of Christ the King in the old calendar.
And we
beautiful.
Did a procession around the city, chanting, taking the Blessed Sacrament with us. Father was holding that Blessed Sacrament up under a canopy, and we're just singing hymns, and you see the neighborhood people coming out of their homes to see what's going on, and
right with a big old smile, Ruben. I would dare say.
I was nodding to them on the sidewalk, and they were amazed. They were amazed at what we were doing, and you could see some of them as Catholics were making the sign of the cross, and it's just beautiful to be out there processing with our Lord, our King, Christ the King, and One of the chants was, Christus vincit, Christus reignat, Christus, Christus imperat,
Christ reigns, Christ conquers, Christ is victorious. I think it's something like that. That was a medieval...
Christ commands, the last one.
Christ commands.
Yeah.
That was a medieval song back during the time of the Crusades. The Crusaders would play that before they went into... Or they would sing that before they went into the battles. And, yeah. By the way, in addition to All Souls Day, the entire month of November is dedicated to the Holy Souls in Purgatory. So during this time, if you're every Catholic, you're encouraged, if you can, to have masses set for the Holy Souls, visit cemeteries, and pray novenas. And this is also a good time to think about your own soul and your own mortality. If you haven't been in confession in a while, it'd be a good time to go to confession. And no matter our sins, remember, God can always change us from sinners to saints. As St. John Vianney said, the saints did not all begin well, but they ended well. That's what really matters, Ruben. Not how we start, it's how we end.
How we finish, that's right.
Yeah.
Run the race and finish the race.
Keep the faith.
Yeah, keep the faith. And this is a time where we can gain indulgences for those poor souls,
They can't gain anything for themselves.
No.
Yep.
So when we visit a cemetery, when we pray for the Pope, all these actions have to be with the intention of receiving, you know, indulgences for the holy souls.
So that means time out of purgatory, Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Hey, let's get right into this topic. This whole defund the police, one of the biggest advocates in the country is Ilhan Omar. And now she's blaming the police for rising crime rates. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Ilhan Omar, she's a Democrat from Minnesota. She's a far leftist. She's one of the leading voices in the push to defund the police. She's been so from day one.
Yeah.
And now she's blaming the police or the Minneapolis police for rising crime rates in the city. And the lawmakers' comments come as violent crime has surged in Minnesota over the last year, mm-hmm. rising 17% in total while setting records for murders. She says, these are her words, Minneapolis, the state's largest city, has had to fight the surge while its police department suffer from staffing and morale problems. Oh, no, this is Fox News, Fox reported. Mm-hmm. And the police department suffers from staffing and morale problems, you think?
Mm-hmm.
After the death of George Floyd in the city, something some say has fueled the crime surge. Well, guess what? Omar, speaking at a town hall event on Saturday in Minneapolis, blamed the rising crime rates on the police department in the city, which comes after she previously called them a cancer. That's what she called the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. Can you believe that? Ruben,
right.
Go ahead and pick it up.
And I think they did initially. They were dismantled it, and they're trying to put it back together now. And who would want to work in that godforsaken place, you know?
You couldn't pay me enough to work those streets.
No.
With that congressman and with that government there, you couldn't pay me enough.
No, you're absolutely right. She's one of the she hates the police. There's no doubt. And I think her security details should be pulled immediately. I don't know how anyone in, you know, could look themselves in the mirror and knowing that they're protecting her. I couldn't, you know. So
yeah, I know.
The second part is that there has to be accountability. Omar continued, and someone that is actually taking responsibility for what the police does invest into, and that doesn't exist in this moment. And I do believe that the current charter that we have that's tied the hands of those who want to have that accountability, because we are mandated to have a specific amount of policing. We are mandated to, you know, have the kind of these union contracts that we have right now. I don't know any other big city in the state of Minnesota that has the charter that we have. It just doesn't exist. And she's referring to, you know, the police union, and she wants this group to hold them accountable, and so she's just bashing the system of you know how these guys they work and every, you know, it's their prerogative to have a union, you know, and it helps them in their
bargaining.
Yeah, exactly. And so
Ruben,
she's the most anti-American, Jesse, politician, bar none. I don't know. She hates this country. I don't know why she
came from
ran.
Somalia. You know that.
Yeah.
She came from Somalia. She's Somalia. And how she got to become a congresswoman, that's an infiltration of Congress. She actually called the police department a cancer at a town hall meeting.
Man.
A cancer. She blames the crime rates, the rising crime rates on the police. And then she calls them a cancer. And then she says we need to completely dismantle the police department. Ruben, I mean, you talk about inconsistent statements. But, and she also said the Minneapolis Police Department is one of the most dysfunctional police departments in our state and probably in the country.
Wow.
Can you believe anybody would want to be a cop in that city?
No, I can't.
Yeah. Ruben, here's the difference between what's happening under Biden and happening under Trump. You know, Trump was big on, I'm thinking about this, when he was in president, he was big on defunding Planned Parenthood. I remember he cut almost $60 million in taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthood. Well, guess what? What's Biden big on? Him and his party, defunding police.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a difference. President Trump, again, his big shtick was to go after Planned Parenthood and defund them to the best of his ability as president using his executive power. And here we have on the opposite side of the scale, the Democrats want to defund the police. Mm-hmm. What you talk about, I mean, what planet are we living in?
Yeah. What police officer in their right mind would want to go out there and be proactive in a town where they get absolutely no support, no backing? And, you know, if someone just makes allegations and, you know, it's going to go sideways. It's going to be he's going to be under investigation. And I just can't see. If I had to work there, I would just handle my calls. That's it. I'd be like a fireman, roll from the station, handle my call, come back, you know, because there's just no support. And that's not the way, you know, policing is done. And it's out there being proactive and finding crime before it occurs or as it's occurring. And you know, sometimes
I don't think that's happening in too many places anymore, Ruben, to be honest with you. I talked to a lot of cops. They're doing they act like firemen right now. Mm. They just roll out to the call, write their paper, and go back and park it somewhere.
That's sad. Because that's what lowers the crime rate.
That's why the crime rate has spiked all over the country, everywhere.
Yeah.
In fact, in some places, the crime rate has spiked 100%.
Yeah.
A violent crime, 100%. And, I mean, can you blame them?
No, you can't. It's career suicide to be out there, you know, being proactive. You know, and that's how we did our job, but... Yeah. Sometimes the only thing that keeps a crook from committing a crime is knowing that a cop could be around the corner.
And, that's right. You know. Ruben, guess what? This whole defund the police movement, this is part of BLM shtick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is part of Black Lives Matter shtick.
Yeah.
And guess Congressman Ilhan Omar, she's one and the same with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, she is. It's part of the communist resolve.
Yep.
We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back to Man Car Jesus 911. Just I want to make an announcement that this coming Monday... Or November 8th, next Monday, there's going to be a March for Freedom. We want people to come out and stand united with the LA City and County employees, first responders, healthcare workers, water and power crews, public works, sanitation crews, and PERC. And they're protesting the unconstitutional COVID-19 vaccine mandates. That's going to be Monday, November 8th at 10 a.m. in front of LA City Hall. I believe Monsignor Perez will be speaking out there against the vaccine mandates. And so let's get out there. I'm going to do everything in my power to be out there. That's my intention, is to be there on Monday the 8th. So let's get out there and let's show all these city workers and county workers that we have their back.
That's right. Ruben, I just want to mention before we go to the next topic, the next topic we want to talk about is a judge suspends deadline for Chicago cops to get vaccinated. That's good news. I just want to mention before I get into that piece is that just to remind people, all the police unions and the sheriff's unions across the country, when Trump was running for president against Biden, they all dumped Biden, and they generally go for the Democrat. The police unions across the country, they all went for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost unheard of, because the police unions, generally speaking, they go for the Democrat candidate. So I just thought that was interesting that Trump basically stole all the police and sheriff's unions. And also one more thing I want to mention about on the last topic is this entire defund the police program. There are many, many well-documented articles that say that George Soros was funding these anti-police, defund the police groups to the tune of millions of dollars. So George Soros was behind it. So Ilhan Omar, she's in bad company. She's in company with George Soros, Black Lives Matter, and leftist progressives that want to destroy this country, leftist Marxist. And so... Yeah, Ruben, she's bad news all the way around. That's all I wanted to say.
I mean, she should be in jail. She married her own brother to bring him over here. And then it's crazy what was going on. And she just walks away. Nothing happens to her. Like a lot of these Democrats, nothing happens to them.
Yeah, there's just a double standard in our country. So, a judge on Monday suspended a December 31st deadline for Chicago police officers to be vaccinated against COVID-19, but the judge didn't interfere with the requirement that they be regularly tested. So disputes over vaccinations should be handled as a labor grievance with an arbitrator, Cook County Judge Raymond Mitchell said. So, that's good news, or should I say that's great news so far. That's we'll take that. That's one in the win column, at least temporarily. The article says the effect of this order is to send these parties back to the bargaining table and to promote labor peace by allowing them to pursue remedies under Illinois law. So I guess the judge doesn't want to touch this. The judge is saying, you know what, you guys handle this in your own arbitrary proceedings. And I'm going to venture to say also, Ruben, the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't want to touch this either.
No.
Because I've looked at some cases, and the U.S. Supreme Court is essentially kicking the cases back. They're kicking the can down the curb or down the road, and they're saying, no, we're not going to take the case. You guys figure it out yourself. So if we're looking to the U.S. Supreme Court to be our saviors, I don't think it's going to happen. What say you?
Yeah, I don't either, Jesse. I feel the same way. I just think it's gotten so political, and
they're afraid.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, you have Biden, you know, wanting to increase the Supreme Court, you know, the justices to 15, and so you know, you can see those conservatives are probably, you know, it's like they've got a gun to their head. And this whole idea, you know, if they make the police departments or the city pay for those testings, that's what would be ideal. But some counties are making the officers and the workers pay their own for their own tests, and that could, you know, that could be expensive. hundreds of dollars having to be tested once or twice a week, and then it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Ruben, I just pulled up another article from Newsweek. It says this: the U.S. Supreme Court dealt another blow to opponents of COVID-19 vaccine mandates on Tuesday in the latest sign that the Supreme Court is not willing to strike down the public health requirements. Associate Justice Justin Breyer, he's a liberal, the most senior member of the court's liberal wing, rejected a religious challenge to a COVID-19 vaccine mandate due to be implemented in Maine. The unnamed plaintiffs identified themselves as healthcare workers who objected to getting vaccinated on religious grounds and made an emergency appeal for an exemption after the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals dismissed an earlier emergency appeal. Ruben, there's a lot of shell games, you know, going on right now behind the scenes. I remember it was a couple of months ago, I watched that documentary. It was a movie/documentary on it was Roe versus Wade. I forget who made it. It was a good Catholic group that made the movie Roe versus Wade. Okay. And it was very well done. It showed all the backdrop to the things that happen on these big cases. It showed all the nine Supreme Court justices. They were constantly getting phone calls from senators and congressmen and the sitting president. You better vote this way. You better vote that way. Mm. We know where what school your daughter goes to. Hey, we're giving donations over here to this. You want to keep getting those? Ruben, there's so much politicking and so much pressure on these politicians. Their phone is ringing constantly by billionaires and millionaires and prominent people of influence telling them how to vote this way, vote that way. And so I believe after watching that movie, Roe versus Wade, a few months ago, I have no doubt that this is the same thing that's happening right now. There's threats happening. You know, we know what school your daughter goes to. Mm-hmm. We know where your husband works at. All this is going on right now. And let's just be honest. The nine Supreme Court justices, they're just men and women. It's like anybody else. They also have what's called the emotion of fear. And especially right now, that's exactly what this COVID-19 mafia religious cult, they're preying on people's fears, and they're trying to destroy people's faith, and they're doing a pretty good job of it in many parts of the country.
Yeah. And then you got the Chief Justice who, remember, during the election, after the election, it was coming out that he was compromised, that he'd been on Epstein's Island, and so they've got him out there in the water with Epstein, and so he was
Clinton
silent.
And all these.
He didn't deny it. I mean, he just didn't want to touch it, so there's some. They probably got some dirt on him, Jesse, and then you know, so he's taking a back seat.
Reuben, and that's exactly the way organized crime works, even in our church. Yeah. They've got a lot of dirt on a lot of bishops and cardinals. The St. Gallen Mafia, that's the organized crime wing inside the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. But outside the church in politics, the way organized crime works, it's the oldest trick in the book. They get you dirty in a sexual affair, mm-hmm. or they get you dirty by giving you dark money that you accept. Those are the two ways that they have people completely compromise and working for them, money and sex.
We did it, to let's say dopers, we have to hold their case over their head and have them work it off. Give us information, do some dirty buys. It's the same thing, but for the good, actually the idea was to eliminate crime. And, this is going on. I can imagine, how those phones must be blowing up. So it says that the officers who haven't been vaccinated still must be tested twice a week under city policy, and they can lose work and pay if they don't disclose their vaccine status. And I don't think it's anybody's business to disclose, what goes in your body. It's my business. I shouldn't have to tell you what.
Yeah, Reuben, there's a thing called HIPAA laws in this country.
Yeah.
And HIPAA laws means when somebody asks you, hey, have you been this, that, or the other? I don't have to tell you. HIPAA laws. I don't got to tell you.
Yeah.
You're not my doctor.
Right.
Pretty simple.
It says the principal risk to those who are unvaccinated is to themselves and to others who choose to be unvaccinated, the judge said. Police have lagged behind their other city departments in meeting the vaccine requirements, but the numbers have been slowly increasing. City data released Monday showed about 73% of Chicago Police Department employees had reported their vaccination status, and about 80% of those employees reported being fully vaccinated. So we're only talking about 20%, which isn't good because, you're stronger in numbers. Mary,
they may be lying, Reuben. The left always, a lot of these articles and a lot of the reporting, I just don't believe it.
Okay.
Yes. Entirely. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they massage the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were doing that with the COVID, the numbers with COVID. Oh, we've got this many people who are in the hospital, this many people died, and just throwing numbers at us. You don't even hear anything about the numbers anymore because it's done. It's just, this is all part of their scheme here. And maybe one of the worst mayors in all of the country, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, her administration.
Oh man!
She showed up at a town hall meeting and she got booed, and she got out the mic and you could just hear all the boos coming at her, and people were laughing, because she has not done anything to help that city one iota. One of the highest murder rates in the country. So her administration announced the vaccine policy weeks ago, drawing sharp objections from police union leaders. The judge noted that COVID-19 has killed many officers nationwide. Yeah, but so has attacks on police. In light of the terrible sacrifice, the police union's request just to have their grievances heard seems a pretty modest task, mm-hmm. the judge said. So there's a Alderman Anthony Napolitano. He said that taking the dispute to arbitration is a lot more American. Then on the other hand, there was another guy, Chris Taliaferro, said the mayor shouldn't have to negotiate every policy with unions. So there's guys on both sides of this that are going to be looking at it. So, what my whole thing is if it works, the vaccine works, then what are they afraid of? And if it doesn't work, then why did they take it in the first place? So, but it's part of the big, they don't need a control group, Jesse. They don't need these healthy people walking around saying, yeah, I didn't get vaccinated. And you're walking around healthy. And then when they start adding these boosters and these people are going to start dropping, I hate to say it, but you see it happening in Israel, one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. And people are dropping on the sidewalk with blood coming out of their mouth, and they're scooping them up and rushing them to hospitals. This stuff is bad news. And if you don't know about some of the things
you can't even go to Israel right now unless you're vaxxed, like the tourist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be fully, you need the double jab so you can go to Israel.
And to leave. You can't get out of Israel if you haven't been vaccinated. So
I won't be going to Israel anytime soon, maybe for years, until I probably
won't go. And there's a group of Christistas that are going again, either this coming week or the next. And
that means they've got the double jab. Everybody that's going, they got the double jab because that's the only way you can go.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yep.
What's no, next?
I'll pass. My body, my choice, as the left says. We want to talk about how the heck did parents lose so much control in our schools? Up next, don't change that dial.
Yep.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus said to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come follow me.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Eternal rest grant unto all the holy souls, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. May all the holy souls, through the mercy of God, may they rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So how the heck, actually the article says, how the hell did parents lose so much control in our schools? You all remember the Dukes of Hazzard. Some of you, if you guys are like my age.
Mm-hmm.
Waylon Jennings writes, just the good old boys wouldn't change if they could. That's a line from the Dukes of Hazzard. But that was then, in the fictional Hazzard County, when things made a lot more sense in America. But now we all apparently live in Hazzard, Kentucky, where Steve Deese writes this article. He says, I introduced you the other day to a drag strip show put on by students with the full endorsement and participation of the faculty. The lesson is that this can happen. If this can happen in Kentucky, then it can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. Right here in my home state of Iowa, writes Dean Peace, or Steve Deese, he says, which appears to be trending more and more red by the day politically, but culturally is still plagued by cancerous progressive growths in many of its school districts. The Des Moines suburb of Waukee has been a battleground last few weeks as Rainbow Jihad erotica has been discovered in school libraries with parents and taxpayers preparing to vote in school board elections on November 2nd, the debate about parent input and control of their children's education has taken on as much energy as I've ever seen. There was a brave mom who read the smut out loud in front of the school board, as well as showed them graphic pictures from one of the books. She deserves 1,000 gold stars for her civic fortitude, and so does another Waukee parent for informing me that the school district's mask optional policy may be getting blown up by the mask cult. It appears that some fully masked classrooms have been created, which required some elementary school students to now be moved into other classrooms with new teachers mid-year. So this isn't so much masking optional any longer as it is mask segregation.
Yeah, you're right. This is happening in other parts of the country too. I've seen it on several occasions. For instance, in Burlington High School, they had a homecoming game, and the fans were treated to more than just a typical night of, you know, high school football. The halftime show transformed into a drag ball. You know, it was featuring both students and faculty members donning extravagant dresses, extreme makeup, and exorbitant wigs. And it was like 30 performers took the field as their drag queen or king personas and performed to a packed crowd of supportive fans chanting drag ball. According to the Associated Press put that out. And the, you know, the event was meant to show support for LGBTQ community members. And they were loving it. And I was one person said, I was just hoping to give our students who are both out and are out, like out in the open, and the students that were in the stands who are not out, a moment to shine and feel loved and know that there's a place for them in public schools. And, you know, this stuff is going on not only in public schools, but, I mean, in Catholic colleges too.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ruben, you just mentioned Catholic colleges. I looked up the other day, I think last night, that in Catholic colleges, I think there's like something like 180 Catholic colleges. I'll look it up again. I'll bring up the article. 180 Catholic colleges in the country. I may be off a little bit on the numbers, that promote some type of LGBT, type of, environment or curriculum. Well over 100 Catholic colleges that are in on this. This is again, they've infiltrated the Catholic schools. This reminds me of what Vladimir Lenin said 100 years ago. He says, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Vladimir Lenin. Look at Adolf Hitler, what he said. "Let me control the textbooks, and I will control the state." These are two monsters. Then this is why, Ruben, the left has really focused on the last, I'd say, 50, 60 years on taking over education, because they know that everybody has to get, go through that car wash. And that's where they get, that's why seven out of every 10 Catholic college kids, Catholics that go to college, for every 10 Catholics, young kids that go to college, 7 to 8 of them lose their faith entirely. Mm. So the public school system, if you're not learning the faith at home and don't have a strong, parental guidance, and the faith isn't practiced at home, the public school system is a car wash to make atheists.
You're absolutely right. Yep. There, it's just indoctrination. And then, some of the, like you said, the Catholic schools are just going along with them to fit in and to follow the, what the society is doing, just so they feel like they're not discriminating. And it's a shame that that's why, and I was promoting those schools that are going to teach, conservative Catholic thought, and with the good books and classical education. And it's in many cases, and I'm not saying all, but in many cases, these parochial schools are no better than the public schools. And it's a shame, because people are paying big money to go there. And
the average Catholic can't even afford a Catholic school. And then once they get there, you're saying, what's the difference between this and the public school down the street? Not much.
But most parents, Jesse, it's unfortunate, two parents are out both working. They just leave it to the school to raise their kids, They don't put any effort into making sure they get taught their faith and work on with them on their homework and see what the school's teaching. How many parents do actually look at the curriculum and see what they're feeding their children? And you've been, I think it's happening more and more now, and that's why some of these people are going to the school boards and protesting and reading some of the things that are the books that are being shown. This outlandish, some of the stuff, it's pornography, nothing short of pornography that they're teaching these children, who are prepubescent kids that they're reading this stuff.
Yeah. Ruben, not only teaching, they're actually doing things. You saw that. It's on the internet, this one high school where they were lap dancing on the teachers and principal's laps. These are students. Some of them were dressed in drag. So this goes beyond just teaching them garbage, secular humanist garbage. They're actually touching them. There's improper touching going on now, Ruben.
Oh, man.
This is on the internet.
I would have turned over the tables there, Jesse. It would be melee. It would be on, Jesse, if somebody was touching my child.
I agree with you, but I don't think there's enough Catholics out there or people of goodwill that. Well, one guy tried to turn over the tables, and the police arrested him. I forgot at what school it was.
Where his daughter was raped.
They sodomized his daughter. His daughter was sodomized by another. An LGBT transgender student, and he goes to the school to complain, and they pigpile him.
Yeah.
What world are we living in right now? I mean, like St. Paul told the Galatians, "Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Who has bewitched you, O U.S. bishops? Who has bewitched you, O Republicans and Democrat you know, Republican rhinos and Democrats. Who has bewitched you? Why are you allowing these things to happen? Who has bewitched you, Joe Biden? Mm-hmm. I mean, there, Ruben, there's no other word for this than, I mean, there's got to be some type of spell put on these people to allow this stuff to happen. But as Catholics, let's not forget that, you know, Catholic parents, the church has always taught that Catholic parents have rights. You know, you know, it's not like you just drop off your kids at school and, you know, c'est la vie, the schools could do whatever they want with your kids. No, the church has it's very clear what the church says about the, I'm reading here from the Catechism, 2206 to 2209. Catholics, we strongly believe that parents are the first and foremost educators of your children. Read 2206 to 2209. It gives you the rights and duties of a Catholic parent in relation to schools. The Catechism says that families, mom and dad, are the privileged community where children are meant to grow in wisdom, stature, and grace. And the Catholic Church counsels us to work with public authorities to ensure and protect the rights of parents. So, yeah, the church has a very strong, well-thought-out, you know, prudential judgment on the issue of our relationship as parents to the schools. People need to read that 2206 to 2209 so you can know your Catholic rights.
Absolutely, Jess. Yeah.
And I had a little meltdown, Ruben.
No, that's okay. We need that. We need that. You gotta tell it like it is, Jesse. Oh, you know, man. You can't just sugarcoat it anymore. This is, and I think I see the numbers are going up for those who are homeschooling their kids. And I don't blame them, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you know, as parents, you have to live a little bit under your, you know, live within your means and cut back to bring mom home to teach the kids. That would
You're
be
right.
the ideal thing to do. I mean, you just, you know, maybe dad can take some extra, you know, extra hours at work, or he can, you know, get a side hustle or something so that mom could be home teaching the kids and like it was in the good old days. And when the school board stopped getting all the funding, you know, from, they're not getting the money from these parents, you know, maybe they'll think twice about what they're doing. And we got to get those people out of there and just vote some new people in on those school boards.
That's right. That's right. Abraham Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next generation. Abraham Lincoln.
Wow. That's pretty telling.
Yep. Jesus 911.
Yep.
Stick around. Up next, we're going to talk about
the Grand Inquisitor.
The University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We're going into a different article now with Rod Dreher's article on the Grand Dei Inquisitor. It's from October 25th, 2021. And it's an excerpt from a communication that went out at that time to faculty of the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. Ilhan Omar's little stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
There is an excerpt from a communication that went out today to faculty of the University of St. Thomas. It's outrageous, as the professor who sent this to me said, this is a clear violation of academic freedom. Imagine you're untenured and don't agree with the LGBTQIA+ movement. What do you do? If you don't write anything, your chair and your colleagues will notice. This may cost you tenure. On the other hand, you can write some BS made up stuff and violate your conscience. Either way, the university is on a fishing expedition to separate the woke sheep from the Catholic goats. Stunning stuff. Really, other schools will follow if they haven't done it already. This is the woke version of a loyalty oath. It's a private university, so it can do whatever it likes, but should it do this? Seems to me that a Catholic university ought to pledge allegiance to what Pope St. John Paul II said in Ex Corde Ecclesiae, his instruction on the nature and duties of Catholic universities. if there are going to be a loyalty oaths at Catholic institutions, let them be loyalty to what the Pope said Catholic universities should be like, not what the woke magisterium demands. Jess?
Wow. Yeah, so they've got the actual communique from... It says, the Office of Academic Affairs and the Provost's Office are excited to invite you to participate in a project aimed at demonstrating our faculty's commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the myriad ways in which we are now acting, will act on that commitment. So they're asking the professors, they're sending this this office memo, but they've got to make a statement themselves. In other words, they want to see what side of the fence they're on. The University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. The memo says, we hope you'll take the time to craft your personal solidarity statement, which will be added to statements of other faculty and academic staff, colleagues, and then shared collectively with St. Thomas community in both virtual and physical formats. In other words, we want to see which of you guys are practicing Catholics and which one of you guys are progressive Catholics, because we only want progressives in as faculty. It says, for your statement, we're asking you to share how you personally will engage in the work of creating an inclusive and equitable campus community that truly values all. What specifically will you do, speaking of professors, in your classroom, in your advising meetings, in your mentorship or research with students, or in other areas of your professional life? Our BIPOC and LGBTQIA plus students, as well as those who identify with other historically marginalized groups, need to know they have allies at St. Thomas who will actively stand and act in solidarity with them. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Ruben, Pope John Paul II, back in the year, I think 1990, sent all the colleges a document called Ex Corde Ecclesia. And he was asking them to be faithful to the magisterium of the Catholic Church. Now we're seeing these individual Catholic colleges like St. Thomas in Minnesota, they're asking professors to be unfaithful to the church. So they've got their own mandatum, their own mandate. They want them to be faithful to the teachings of the zeitgeist, the spirit of this age. The article says, but why should there be DEI loyalty oaths at all? One presumes that every faculty member would be willing and able to treat each student that he or she teaches with fairness. You cannot reasonably expect more. What the University of St. Thomas is doing is passive-aggressive and coercive. I hope that professors there may be 100% in favor of diversity and inclusion initiatives will nevertheless speak out against this appalling coercion. Yeah, they're only going to speak out if they're tenured. If they're rookies, they're not going to say anything. Ruben?
Jesse, that's just... our sin is, let's promote sin. This idea of diversity and, you know, accompanying men, going through with these people, you know, have some feelings. Yeah, you could welcome them all you want, but at the end, you need to tell them the truth. This is not going to get you where you want to go. I mean, this is not going to end well for you. You know, you keep this.
Welcome them into a relationship with Jesus Christ and to live in a state of sanctifying grace.
I don't understand why people go to Catholic schools if this is what they want to do is to transform it instead of just what the church has always taught.
Because the monsters have infiltrated our Catholic schools.
Yep.
And just not on Halloween, the entire year. Most of the Catholic schools have been infiltrated by monsters.
I mean, you know, as a teacher, you should understand that you have that solemn responsibility to teach what the church's official doctrines are to the children. You know, even catechists who work with the children, you've got to know what your obligations is. And so, whatever your private opinions on certain controversial topics, you know, when you're acting as a representative of the church, your views should be irrelevant. And what happens is that you want to stand up for what the church has always taught, but then when you're some of these schools are also making them take oaths to implement, you know, a lot of this woke stuff or what the Pope's agenda is. And I may not personally agree with the Pope on certain issues, as long as it's not on faith and morals. I can do that, you know.
Yep, you got the right to do that.
And I'm not absolutely a bad Catholic for doing
nope.
That. But a lot of people think that's, oh my goodness, you're saying something against the Pope.
No, you're not. When he has opinions, we could disagree with his opinions. Faith and morals is something entirely different.
Absolutely, yeah.
Reuben, but there's some good websites. If you want to send your kids to a good Catholic college, here's one website that you can look into, some of you young parents. It's called runwithsaints.org. 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 It's a good Catholic website that shows you the best Catholic campuses around the country. So it's easy to find a good Catholic college. They have a rating system there. And so you can actually see what Catholic students and the alumni have to say about the colleges. There's also another website that's also very reputable. NewmanSociety.org. NewmanSociety.org. This is the Newman Guide. It recommends Catholic colleges and universities because of their commitment to orthodoxy and to a faithful Catholic education. I think there's about 30 Catholic colleges out of 270 that are faithful to the magisterial teachings of the church. And then I just want to remind you that Pope John Paul II back in 1990 wrote that it was a document where he was asking professors to pledge their allegiance to the church. It was an apostolic constitution called Ex Cordi Ecclesia. It was promulgated on August 15th, 1990, and it's calling Catholic colleges and universities to fidelity, the professors, it's calling them to fidelity to the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. And so those are three things that I think may be helpful, but especially those two websites, runwithsaints.org and newmansociety.org, if you want to find a good Catholic college for your kids. How did all this happen? I'll tell you when all this happened. When did the Catholic universities get compromised? This was back in 1967. There was a group of Catholic colleges led by the University of Notre Dame. They declared their independence from the Catholic magisterium. Why? Because they wanted to qualify for federal money by the Democrats. And so many other schools have joined them in order to accept federal funding. And the compromises it requires, like they have to hire non-Catholic professors, atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, Protestant professors. This document was called the Landolates Declaration. The Landolates Declaration, 1967. It was signed by the leaders of the Catholic colleges and universities around the country. Not all of them, most of them, under the leadership of Father Ted Hesburgh from Notre Dame. And they basically, this document say, we are invoking autonomy from the authority of the Pope and the U.S. bishops and the magisterium. And so they basically, all these, in 1967, all the Catholic colleges, they became independent. I mean, they retained the name Catholic, yeah. but intellectually or it's what I would call, this is the treason of the intellectuals in Catholic higher education, Reuben.
It is. Notre Dame's a joke.
It is.
And I mean, no wonder why they brought in then President Obama to come and give a speech, and they gave him a honorary degree. And yet, when I think it was Vice President Pence went to speak there, they booed him. These are Catholics that are booing a
pro-life vice president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reuben, I'll tell you why a lot of this infiltration has happened. I'm looking back at a 2015 article. So in 2015, it's already documented by TFP.org, these TFP Student Action. They document 107 pro-homosexual clubs on Catholic campuses. Did you catch that? 107 homosexual clubs on Catholic colleges and universities in America. There's 270 Catholic colleges and universities in total, so that's a little bit more than one-third of the Catholic colleges have already accepted this whole pro-homosexual agenda inside the Catholic university system.
Well, when they allow James Martin to walk around and just promote it, they think, okay, well, it must be okay with the magisterium. We've got a guy who's sitting up there in the Vatican, and he's given carte blanche to say whatever he wants about supporting the LGBTQ and to further their agenda. And
you're right, Reuben. It's not what people say; it's what they do. You're right. You could talk a big game about I don't believe in homosexual unions and all this stuff. But it's what you do that's what people are looking at right now. And you're right. Pope Francis makes very ambiguous statements, and oftentimes his demeanor, his behavior is not consistent like with what he said. For example, he said not too long ago, which is a good statement, he said abortion is like is murder. He says it's like hiring a hitman to kill somebody. That's a strong statement. Yet he meets Joe Biden over the weekend, and it appears that nothing was even said about him being the most pro-abortion president that we've ever had in the country, in the U.S., the most powerful country in the world, and he's a Catholic.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't understand. I heard some of the dialogue with what Biden was talking to him. Why the heck was he talking about Satchel Paige, a baseball player, a black baseball player that, you know, pitched in the Negro Leagues and then won a game at age 47? The Pope's looking at him like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Incoherent.
Hey, yep. Hey, Ruben, our goal is not to get our kids to Harvard, but to heaven.
Amen.
You've been listening to Jesus 911. Stick around. Up next, Gary Machuda, the big guy. Hands-on apologetics coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. And to the rest of you, we say, holy souls in purgatory, pray for us.
Get out there and let's pray for them. We are 10-7 out.
Out.